Now then, when you go to Mark 11:23, Jesus is speaking, and Jesus clearly said, if you can believe with no doubt in your heart, whatever you say with your mouth, if you believe it with your heart, you will have whatsoever you say with your mouth. That's written in Mark 11:23. So since I knew that promise, I said, I guarantee you on the word of the living God that when y'all pull all them tubes out of my grandbaby, she will not only live, she will breathe over the machine on her own, and she will cough. And all those doctors, knowing, trained by their five physical senses, knowing that they had just done a second MRI and there's nothing attached to her brain, they knew I was crazy. So they just hung their head and pulled all the tubes. And when they pulled all the tubes, she breathed 2 points over the machine on her own and started coughing. Our Jesus, He is an awesome, awesome God. He is awesome. So over the next few days, she got stronger, she breathed more, she breathed better. But they within 2 weeks' time, after they pulled the tubes, the next Sunday night had been 2 weeks and 1 day. Now, a little face that was totally destroyed, that was unrecognizable, that was torn and cut all to pieces, I had asked the Father in the name of Jesus to restore that beautiful little face according to those promises, quoting them to Him. And every day, I took a list of these promises and I gave them to my son-in-law and to my son. And I said, guys, I want y'all to read the Word of God over her every day. I mean, just take this sheet of paper with all these magnificent promises and read them over her every day. When y'all are gone and I'm here, I'll read them and I'll praise and worship the King for His promises that are always yes and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For no matter how many promises God made in His Word to you, if you're in Christ, all of His promises to us, the body of Christ, are yes and amen every time. The answer is never no from God to us, to His children. If we're walking in obedience to His Word, with all our sins confessed, all of His promises are yes to His children every time. So, as they read these over that, by that second Sunday evening, I left that Sunday afternoon and she had one great big red deal left over one eye. Every cut and bruise on her face had been healed without a scar. And when I walked back in Monday afternoon, that little face was as beautiful as it was before the accident, laying there without a single scar or a single mark on that beautiful little face. So as I continued to sit there and praise the King and worship Him over her, she got better and stronger. And we came out of ICU. The doctor, when they pulled the tubes, he said, sir, we need to do surgery on that right knee. I told him, no, sir, we're not going to do surgery on the right knee. He said, sir, the kneecap is crushed. He said, she will never walk again. I said, oh, yes, she will. I said, sir, I've stepped into a realm of faith. God made me a promise, and I'm trusting Him and Him alone, no one else. He said, I've got to do surgery. I said, no, sir, no surgery on her knee. He said, can I at least put a cast on the leg to hold it straight? Her daddy said, Thurman, please, let him put a cast on it. I said, okay, put a cast on it. They put a cast on her leg. It healed supernaturally. They took the cast off, and without a single surgery on that little girl, we went home after 30 days in ICU. I took her out, and the doctor says, I do not understand how this little girl has lived. I said, sir, she's lived because I believe this book, the Word of my God. His name is Jesus. He said, well, there's something there. Something's happened. He said, I just don't understand. He said, take a wheelchair, and we'll make her a special one, because she'll a motorized one, because she'll never walk. I said, I do not receive that curse. I said, that little girl will walk, she will run, she will play. He said, sir, that's impossible. I said, sir, you're going by what you see and not the Word. So I took the Word of God with my grandbaby. I took her home. I would not put her in a wheelchair. I carried her. I would not roll her out of that hospital in a wheelchair. I would not show unbelief. I carried her. I took her home. I set her down in the bed, and I'd set her up and say, Caitlin, honey, in the name of Jesus, I command your body to be strong and for you to set up. And I'd turn her loose and she'd fall down. I'd pick her back up. I mean, when you started training your children to walk, the first time you picked them up and stood them up and said, walk, you turned them loose and they fell down. Did you stop? No. I picked mine up again and I said, in the name of Jesus. And I did that over and over and over until she could set up in the bed. Then I took her out of the bed and stood her up. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your little body to be strong where you can stand in the name of Jesus. And I'd turn her loose and she'd fall on the floor. I'd done that over and over until she could stand. And then I commanded her to walk. And I did that over and over and over until she could walk. She's now walking. She was doing these, but she's still blind. Her eyes were disconnected from her brain. I took her back on December the 30th of 2001 to Dr. Marks, and he looked at her, and when he saw her walking down that corridor holding my finger, he come grabbed her up. He said, "Would you look at this?" And he picked her up and took her in his office. He's beginning to check her and examine her, and I said, "Dr. Marks, what do you think about my Jesus now?" He said, "Sir, all I got to say to you is somebody a whole lot bigger than me put this little girl back together." But January the 6th, she was still blind. We had just built a brand new Baptist church. That church where we'd been going there in Justin, at that time I had not started my own ministry. I was still teaching and going to Sunday school and everything in a normal Southern Baptist church there in Justin, Texas. We didn't even have a pastor at that time. We had a fine young man there as the in charge of the young department there, Derek Draper. He's a fine young man, great example for the young people. A great man of God. He was all we had as a pastor. We had an interim pastor from the seminary come over to preach for us on Sunday. That Sunday morning, January the 6th, 2002, we opened that sanctuary brand new. We had the first service in that place. And then I asked anybody that would. There was 400 people there that day. And I asked anybody that would, that believed that God would open my grandbaby's eyes, I invited them that afternoon at 2 p.m. to come and pray with me and stand on God's promises so the king could reconnect my grandbaby's eyes to her brain.